Earth and Sky.
Welcome to Clear Voices. I'm Jorge Salazar. Scientists have charted a course in the North Atlantic to find out more about climate change. What's more, they're reporting their findings in a way that's immediately accessible to the blind and visually impaired via the internet. I spoke with Amy Bauer, senior scientist at Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. Bauer's met the difficulties of being legally blind to become an acknowledged leader in her field of ocean research. She spoke with me about a research cruise in the Labrador Sea with teacher Kate Fraser of Perkins School for the Blind, and she talked about her internet project, Ocean Insight, supported by the Keyspan Foundation and the National Science Foundation. Here's Amy Bauer. Tell me about the research cruise that you're conducting next week aboard the NOR. What's going on there? What have you got to tell us about it?
We'll be leaving tomorrow and heading the NOR up to Greenland. On the way, we will be launching a deep-sea mooring. This is just like a mooring in a harbor that holds your boat. It has a heavy weight at the bottom and a long line and a buoy near the top. But this mooring, unlike the one in your harbor, is about 2 miles long. And along the cable are some instruments which will measure the temperature and the currents for 2 years. And we're waiting for the warm pools of swirling water to come by. These are called Erminger rings.
Tell me a little bit more about these rings. How are they formed? What are they doing? Why are they important to scientists?
The rings form from a current, a very strong current, that flows along the coast of Greenland. And this current is carrying warm water that actually was carried north by the Gulf Stream. But the water nearby is colder. That temperature difference, it is pretty important to the processes of air-sea interaction that occur in the Labrador Sea. That's where the winds, which are very cold, well below freezing, blow over the Labrador Sea, and they take heat out of the ocean. That is, the water cools and the air gets warmer. But if that happened all the time, the Labrador Sea would get colder and colder and colder and colder. And we know that's not the case. In fact, the heat that the winds remove is replaced by the warm, swirling eddies, the Erminger rings, that break off from this current and drift out into the middle of the Labrador Sea. They decay there in the middle and sort of dump their heat content into the middle to replace what the winds have taken out.
And how does, I guess, taking a snapshot of what's going on out in the Labrador Sea, how can this tell us anything about the big picture of world climate?
Yeah. Well, it's one cog in a giant wheel, which is the what we call the meridional overturning circulation. That's a long phrase. And it's the process by which seawater is cooled near the surface in the northern North Atlantic, sinks down, and then travels throughout the world's oceans in very deep in the ocean, cold and deep water, and slowly comes back to the surface and warms up and then flows back to the northern North Atlantic. So it's a bit like a radiator in your house. And this process where the rings break off and go out into the middle of the Labrador Sea is part of that process where you're converting warm water to cold water in the northern North Atlantic.
Now you talked about the science that's going on board the research cruise, and I understand that it's not just scientists that are coming on board with you.
That's right. We're very pleased to have a teacher from the Perkins School for the Blind. This is a school for the blind in Watertown, Massachusetts. It's a K-12 program. It's the oldest school for the blind in the United States. And we'll make short recordings on the ship of the activities going on, conversations, interviews, sounds, and post those on a website for the students to access. And we'll also be writing emails and daily journals to share with the students.
I understand that you yourself are also visually impaired. What would you like to tell young people with visual impairments about being a scientist?
Well, that they can do it, number one. It's a really exciting career. Science, and in particular earth science, is a really interesting field with lots of new questions and possibilities. Climate change is really a hot topic right now, and there are many, many ways in which someone interested in that topic or in science in general can get involved. I did begin to lose my vision when I was in graduate school getting my PhD. It sort of slowly deteriorates year after year, but I've been able to find adaptive technology, which includes things to make text bigger on my computer and paper text larger. My computer, I use a screen reader, which talks to me. And so this has given me a lot of access to the information I need to do my job.
I'd like to travel back in time. You're talking about your days as a graduate student.
Uh-huh.
What inspired you in the first place to want to study Earth's oceans?
I guess when I was a kid, I grew up on the ocean, and my family was very outdoor-oriented, so we spent a lot of time in the outdoors, and I really enjoy the outdoors and nature in general. And in the process of growing up, somehow I just developed a very strong curiosity about how everything works, and especially how everything in the outdoors works. And as I went along through school, I found that I enjoyed science in the classroom and math, and so I studied those subjects. Went to college for a degree in physics, but I quickly realized it was really the physics of how the Earth works that I was most interested in. So I was lucky enough to be introduced to a semester program called Sea Semester, run by Sea Education Association, where I took a semester off from college to learn everything about oceanography and go on an oceanographic cruise on a schooner. And after that, I was sold on oceanography.
A leader, I guess, in the field of oceanographer, in the field of oceanography, excuse me. What is the biggest challenge that you faced as a scientist in your field?
I think, well, certainly my vision impairment has been very challenging. In my previous answer, I made it sound like, just learn this stuff and it's no problem. It takes a lot of energy because, as well, the job itself takes a lot of commitment and energy to pursue, and then you add on top of it the challenge of being visually impaired, and it really, you have to be committed. And that's why I like to tell young people, especially with vision impairment, to find something that you love to do, because you're going to need all the energy in the world in order to overcome the challenges of being visually impaired and do something with your life that's fulfilling and satisfying.
That was scientist Amy Bauer of Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution on the Ocean Insight Project for the Visually Impaired. I'm Jorge Salazar for Earth and Sky, a clear voice for science.
We're at earthsky.org.